The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
Welcome to the Woodshed Music Program. I am your host, Gary Puckett, and you are listening to us through the program feeds of the FlyPod.com New Media Network. Our network operates nationwide with a team of 35 individual show hosts, 80 syndication partners, and 17 different media domain platforms. We furnish on-demand media programming for over 3,300 small communities across the nation. Today, my guest here on the Woodshed is acoustic guitar player and songwriter Albert Parrish. Some of our listeners may know of him from Acoustic Alaska, a respected guitar camp held annually, I believe, around Labor Day in Wasilla, Alaska. Well, Albert, welcome to the Woodshed Music Program. How are you doing today?
I'm doing really well, and it's a pleasure to be here.
This should be fun and very interesting to boot. Well, you and I met in Fairbanks this past summer. We did not know each other up until that point in time. You were entertaining the folks at an Alaskan lodge, and I must say personally, after a busy day, a lot of travel, you were an unexpected treat to the ears of all in attendance, myself included. But I always enjoy listening to good musical talent, so that's what I was drawn to. So let me ask you this. Just how long have you been playing acoustic guitar, and what motivated you to pick it up to begin with and start this musical journey you're on?
I started playing before I was 10 years old. I don't remember exactly when. We had a Martin D18, a family guitar, and so it was just sitting around, and the older members of my family were playing it, and so whenever I got the chance, I just started fiddling around with it. And then somebody gave me a set of finger picks, and I started working on that. Somebody showed me some songs, some finger pick patterns. We did some song circles, so that's how I got started.
And away you went. So playing or writing music, one or the other or both, it kind of runs in the family a little bit then, right?
Oh, yeah. My dad, he was an excellent ear musician. He played trumpet and he played guitar. I even saw him play piano one time, composing on the fly, but I only saw that one time. My dad really knew what he was doing. My older brothers, a couple of them played accompaniment guitar. Another brother played trumpet in high school or cornet. And then, well, my daughter Julia is accomplished trumpeter, and she's a pretty good lyricist and vocalist as well. So, yeah, it runs in the family.
Yeah, and it has to make you feel proud also to see your daughter perform, I'm sure. Well, here on the Woodshed, it is not uncommon at all for us to have just extraordinary players and groups on with marvelous abilities, but many will tell me that they don't read a lick of music at all. They play all by ear because they've learned that way from a very young age. So should I assume that you are more of a technician and do read music or not so much? What can you share with our listeners on that question?
At this point, I don't use any music at all. I never used sheet music. In my early teens, when I was developing my physical side, I had a James Taylor songbook that had some tab in it. So I was able to learn physically how he made music, and that was very helpful then and through my whole life. So that's how I did it. But the breakthrough for me came when I was in my early 20s, and I figured out how to apply the rudiments of music to the fingerboard of the guitar. That allowed me to create rather than imitate or even extrapolate. So that was the big thing for me. All of a sudden, I could find every voicing of a chord on the fingerboard and then get to work and figure out which was going to be best for the part of the song I was arranging. So that was important to me.
Discovery is a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Well, from the many interviews I've done, I've discovered that with many musicians, there is this kind of strong sentimental attachment to their very first instrument. So do you by chance find yourself still playing and favoring your original guitar, or do you have multiple guitars and you switch them out from point to point, or how does that work for you?
I don't have the original guitar. I wish I did. I haven't seen that since I was a kid. But I've come full circle, and so I've played all different kinds of guitars, but for the past, I guess, 5 to 10 years, I've focused on Martin D18 guitars. They are bright and clear in the mid-range and a lot of my music. That's where I'm getting all the melody from, is in on strings 3, 4, 5. So the Martin D18 is a great guitar. When I played live, and when you heard me, I was playing the little sister to the D18, the Martin Triplot 18. And so I use that model exclusively for all live gigs that I do. And then for recording, I use my daughter Julia's Collings D1, which is very, very clear in the mid-range. So, like I said, I don't have the D18, but I certainly play one every week.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, I want to switch gears and change directions on you. Acoustic Alaska is a respected guitar camp. Tell me about this gathering of talents that happens.
Acoustic Alaska Guitar Camp, I found it on the internet about, I don't know, 15 years ago. And it's in Wasilla every year. It occurs during the week that precedes Labor Day. It's just a heck of a lot of fun. You go online, you sign up for your courses. There's top flight instructors. And then the friendships I've made there are great. Like this last August, Lawrence Juber was my instructor for arrangement. Victoria Vox was my instructor for voice. Steve Boffman was my instructor for rhythm and clawhammer guitar. And so these guys are just top flight players and instructors. But the big thing is to go back every year and meet with the people who have a common interest with you. And so it's just a lot of fun.
Does this camp include guitarists only or any acoustic string player?
The instruments are guitar, mandolin, I think banjo, ukulele, and then sometimes they do dobro. So those are the main instruments that they do at the camp. And when I first heard that ukulele was coming, I go, well, I'll have to see what this is about. But when they brought in people like James Hill and Victoria Vox, that they're just masters of the instrument. It's just a pleasure to watch them.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, how many typically attend this meetup?
I would say between 75 and 125.
That is a nice number. It's a personal number. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The guy that runs the camp, Joe Becker, is very, very good at what he does. And the camp is very organized, and it's just fun. And I guess the big thing I know is that the instructors are personable and approachable. And sometimes I've been to one or two other camps where that's not really the case. But with Acoustic Alaska Guitar Camp, the instructors are very personable and approachable.
Do you find that attending this special event has you walking away feeling inspired?
Well, that's the exact right way to say it. I watch what the instructors are teaching. And then from that, I may draw something. And I said, well, let's see if I can work this into my performance repertoire, a song using these ideas into the performance repertoire, because that's what I'm focused on, is keeping that repertoire going. So anyway, I look forward to that. And let's say I am able to use a new technique, a cross-picking technique with me using finger picks, and I'll put that in a song, and I'll go, boy, I can't wait to get there next year and show everybody how I did this. So it's a lot of fun.
Well, while attending Acoustic Alaska, you met quite an extraordinary, talented, and internationally known mandolin player who was born in Opava, I believe, in the Czech Republic. Opava, to the best of my knowledge, is about 200 miles east of Prague. His name is Radim Zenkel. Describe for me what you guys experienced together as you both kind of jumped in together and started playing.
I had seen Radim instruct and perform at prior Acoustic Alaska guitar camps before 2015 or 16. I can't remember which exact date that was. I think it's 2016. So after the camp concert in 2016, Radim found me, and I'll say it like this. This is not how he talks, but I'll say it like this. Albert, let's play some of your music. And of course, I was thrilled because he's an instructor. And so I said, okay, Radim, but you've never heard any of my songs. And he just waved his hand and go, it's okay, Albert. And so I started playing, and I just couldn't believe that when I hit my first note, Radim hit his first note. He was able to tell by the movement of my hands what I was going to do before I did it. And so we played well over an hour, maybe did 12 or 15 of my original songs that he had never heard before. And he was, well, he was flawless. The only time I heard him make a mistake was if I made a mistake, he'd do the same mistake to make it look like it wasn't a mistake. Okay.
Yeah, but, right.
Anyway, so it was one of the coolest musical experiences that I ever had. And so we didn't get that recorded because there was no equipment. But a few months later, we decided to do the CD because that musical experience was so remarkable.
Well, one of the songs, one of your original compositions that you recorded with Radim was a song called Now and Then. What a great thing that you now have this down on a track with you two guys, because I have listened to this track and it's tight. It's just a wonderful song. And I really think that our listeners will enjoy this, but it was recorded after you had originally met. You guys came back together and recorded this. And I want to take a break in our conversation now and play this song that you guys recorded together. His accompaniment on mandolin is just extraordinary. Before I do, though, I was wondering if you could set us up a little bit on this song. When did you write this, and what prompted you? What was behind the writing and creation of this song?
One of my daughters was getting married, and my wife approached me and said, you know, honey, you're going to have to write a song. And I said, okay, that's great. So I got right on it, and I wrote the song, and I put it about 40 hours into the arrangement of the song. And then I finally realized when the song was done, hey, I can't play it for her. I got to walk her down the aisle. So what I ended up doing was pre-recording the tune by me, and then I have a longtime guitarist friend named Doug Cruikshank, and so he played live at the wedding over the pre-recorded track, and it went wonderful. The audience thought he was playing, you know, both parts at once, and so they thought he was some sort of monster guitar player. He is a monster guitar player, but he couldn't play both parts at once. So anyway, that's the song. And so when I wrote the song, I wanted it to have the right tempo and the right level of solemnity to match the occasion. So that's how I did it.
Yeah. Well, I would like to take a break in our conversation now and play the song Now and Then with you, accompanied by just this extraordinary internationally known artist, mandolin player Radim Zenkel. Here it is, folks, Now and Then. We'll be right back with Albert Parrish. Thank you. Well, Albert, what a great song. You know, today, much of the music is created electronically and with the use of what I'll just call electronic studio tools and tricks. What do you think of all the electronic wizardry that goes on today in studios to make something sound presentable, if I may call it that?
Well, I guess the way to say it is it's not for me, but that's because I play such a simple way. I mean, I'm a solo guitar player, and normally I play solo, and with Redeem, we did two tracks, but that's not much compared to the modern way they do things. And with respect to recording, I would say that every artist is going to choose how they want to do it. Every producer is going to choose how they want to do it. But for me, the minimum amount of studio help, if you will, is what I strive to have. And so I go in well rehearsed, and then I play my stuff, and if there's a fix, they fix it, but there's normally not very many. So I'm okay with the wizardry. It's sort of a to each their own.
You're a fundamental purist is what I would call you in terms of the art form. Years ago, I sat and talked with the very talented and quite well-known banjo player Earl Scruggs, who has departed. He has left us, but he has left behind many, many tracks that are just extraordinary songs. He was an incredible talent. And he told me that when music became more electrified when he was coming up, as opposed to purely acoustic, that it was initially met with a lot of resistance on the part of accomplished acoustic purists. Do you see the infusion of electronic studio tools as a similar kind of transition?
Well, I'm not involved with the industry to the extent to where I could say, well, this is how the industry is reacting. Okay. But my approach is, well, I'll decide for myself. And then I think that what the other artists and producers should do is decide for themselves. How do they want to do it? And as time goes by, I'm going to think that it's going to be the listener that ultimately decides which way the purest needle points. For example, I don't expect Alison Krauss and Union Station to be running down to get a lot of electronic wizardry because they're fantastic without that. Okay. And there may be some more modern artists that wouldn't be very well received unless they had a lot of help from electronic wizardry. So that's how I see it. And I think the listener's going to be the final decider.
Well put. And you are right. The audience will judge it all. Well, do you have any additional music projects you're working on that your fans and followers can expect to see in the near future?
Well, first and foremost, I like to do what you saw me do, which is play live. So if anybody sees Guitar by Albert being advertised, that's me. You know, come and see me. And then I do hope to do a CD with some of my popular song arrangements, because that's about 85% of my repertoire. So I'm hoping to get that worked on in the next year. And then I do want to do a project with a couple of friends of mine, the Doug Cruikshank that I mentioned. And then there's a bassist, Mark Swanson. And I really want to do something with them and hopefully get an extended play out or something like that. So that's what's on the horizon.
Very cool. If one of our listeners wanted to get their hands on one of your CDs, like right after listening to this show, perhaps, your Project Blue Moss CD, how can they order one?
They can order one by emailing me. So my email address would be all one word, guitarbyalbert@yahoo.com. Additionally, Radim is doing camps and concerts everywhere. So if the listener wants to get a CD, I'm pretty sure Radim will have some with him, and they can get them from Radim.
Excellent. Albert, I want to thank you for coming on the Woodshed Music Program. It's been a pleasure having you join me here on the show, and I wish you continued success and satisfaction as you pursue the art form of acoustic music. Well, this is the Woodshed Music Program, and again, my guest has been Albert Parrish from Fairbanks, Alaska. I'm your host, Gary Puckett, and we come free and clear to your portable media device through the program feeds of the Flypod.com New Media Network. Thanks for listening in, everybody. We truly appreciate our national audience of listeners. Until next time, so long for now.